for the word this morning? Turn your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, have you got it? Verse number 1, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. That's the water tower, right? For us. And we'll watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. Habakkuk said, I'm going to go pray. God's going to speak to me, and I know it will require change on my part. Most people today, when they pray, don't expect they're going to have to change. But we don't go to the glory of God without us taking personal steps of transformation ourselves. It says, and the Lord answered me, how about that? And said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it, for the vision's yet for an appointed time. He says here, I'm going to give you a vision. It's for a time of the end. It's for the end times. And he says, there's going to be a time. It seems like it's running late, but wait, it's going to come to pass. And he says, whoever reads this vision should run with his vision. Now, again, it's not an accident that Habakkuk's in your Bible. Right? I mean, if you have an Old Testament and a New Testament Bible, you have the book of Habakkuk there. God knew it would be there in the beginning. In fact, I believe he intentionally embedded the book of Habakkuk in this vision in this obscure prophetic book, so it would only be found by those with a heart to seek him. Did you follow that? He didn't put the vision, in the largest book of the Bible. He put it in one of the smaller ones. He said, whoever reads this vision should run toward this vision. Now, the vision's all through the scriptures, but he said, run toward it in Habakkuk. And he said, the vision is in verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then we mentioned this Thursday night, the waters represent the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God anointed by the Spirit of God. And Scripture, seas represent the multitudes of people. Amen. These have representation in the Word. So he says, as the Word is poured out on the peoples, the glory is going to fill the earth. But it's going to start with the people that receive the Word, even in smaller groups starting out. And so he said, the glory is coming to the earth, and it's going to be in the end times. I believe you just receiving your vision in these end times is a confirmation. We're there. That God gave you that verse. So we are coming up on the time of the full outpouring of God's glory. It's starting even now. It's beginning even now. In fact, I didn't tell you guys, but I've already rewritten and edited 3 chapters of the book in the last week. And so that's in acceleration. I thought it was going to take me forever to do it, and it's moving quite quickly. So praise the Lord for that. But God's filling the earth with His glory. He's looking for a people that will have a heart to seek Him fully, that He can pour the glory out upon. In fact, in verse 4, he tells about the people of the glory, the people that aren't and the people that are. I'm speaking quickly because we're in review of what we've covered the past few weeks. In verse 4, he said, for he whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him. In other words, a person who elevates his soul is not going to go into the glory. A person whose soul is lifted up is somebody who has elevated their thinking, their ideas, their mindsets above the Word of God. Do you follow me? In other words, instead of bringing every thought captive to the Word, as Paul said in Corinthians, they're bringing the Word captive to every thought. Did you ever run into people like that? Of course you did. That, they're out there in the world, out there even in religion, and whatever they're experiencing in life, they then try to find a verse to back it up. Amen. And so they'll say things like, all things work together for God. Good. They're going through, a hellacious situation. All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to His purposes. So they just blame the situation they're in, the cursed situation they're in, on God. It's working together for good. No, God didn't do it. You did something to let the curse in many times. Amen. Now God could turn it if you'll turn toward Him, but just because you're going through something doesn't mean it's going to work to your good. Or how about this? I've heard this one repeatedly, back in the world, that God gave man every good herb of the field. Have you heard that one?
Yeah.
God gave us this. Well, he gave us poisonous mushrooms as well. That doesn't mean you're supposed to partake of them, right? But people will bring the word captive to the what they want it to say. But the rest of the verses, verse 4 says, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, he will live by believing the word. The one that's going to step into the glory is a person who will say, I'm going to learn to live by believing what God has promised me. I'm going to let my word, my life become conformed to the word versus conform the word to my life. And if something's going on in my life that doesn't match the blessings of God, then I'm going to have to get in the word and find out how to get my life aligned with that word to receive of that blessing. So here it says the just shall live by his faith. We are called of God to learn to live by believing him, to live by trusting him, by trusting his word, by standing on his word. We were called. Now get this. Are you a Christian? If you're born again, you're a Christian. You were called to live in a supernatural fashion. Never just to be limited by the natural. We were called to be healed supernaturally, prospered supernaturally, walk in the joy, the peace, and the love of God supernaturally. Amen. And the way faith operates is by finding in the Word what God has promised, meditating those promises till we really believe they're for us, and then speaking out with authority what God has said. I am the healed. Right? I am the one God has blessed. I am his favorite. I am a friend of God. We speak it, stand on it, and watch it come to pass. That's what faith does. And God says, the just shall live by believing the word. Remember we read, Aaron went there in the offering, about Psalm 78, how they wouldn't believe God, and because they wouldn't believe God, they said, in fact, they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can he really supply meat for us? And God was angry because they wouldn't believe him, and it says, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Our unbelief limits God, but when we bring the word that God spoke to us back to him, he says, yes, you believe me. Watch me do it in your life. Amen. And so the just shall live by faith. Now we in the past sessions on this teaching went into the New Testament where Paul repeats this passage twice, the just shall live by faith. And in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, we don't know for sure who it was, could have been Paul, as well repeats it. In the New Testament, three times the passage, the just shall live by faith, is mentioned. And let me assure you, the writers of the New Testament knew the Old Testament. They also knew when they quoted the just shall live by faith, because it will say in the Word, for as is written, the just shall live by his faith. They knew that was pointing to the outpouring of God's glory. Your New Testament was written to a people, written for people, who would believe for the glory, who would believe for the supernatural. Amen? So we've gone in the past to each of those instances where it says the just shall live by faith, and we found out that it tells us we've got to learn to find out who we are in Christ Jesus, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In fact, where it says the just shall live by faith, that word just there means righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. You were made righteous when you were born again. As well, we found out you've got to be willing to step into the place of believing the word versus just living by a set of do's and don'ts. We were redeemed from the law. And the just that live by faith know they were made righteous by the cross, not by what they do. Right? We were made righteous through our belief in Jesus, not because we were able to keep the law of ourselves. Amen. And in Hebrews it says, don't be weary as you're following God. Remember the former days in which other people were persecuted or you went through a hardship. You endured a great fight of affliction. Keep that in mind. He says, for the just shall live by faith. You're going to go through some fights as you endeavor to live by faith. As soon as you target following God fully, that target was painted on you. Now see, God gave us a target. We had that prophecy earlier as well. That prophecy of the target that we're going towards. But when you say, I'm going to fulfill the call of God on my life, the devil paints a target on you saying, I've got to stop them. As long as somebody's just going through life, just doing their own thing, they're not concerned about fulfilling the call of God, they're not learning to live by faith, the devil leaves them alone. Even in church, because he's happy with a powerless church. Satan loves a church without the anointing, but he's terrified of a church with the power of God on it. So when a church starts to target moving into the supernatural, Satan says, I've got to stop them. So don't be surprised when you're going through a fight. Peter said this. He said, don't be amazed, don't be surprised when you go through a great fight of affliction, through a fiery trial. Amen. Battles follow revivalists, but those of faith overcome in the battles. And me personally, I don't mind a good fight if I win. If I'm playing a game, if I'm playing Words with Friends, it gets very boring if you're playing people and you beat everybody by 200 points. You know, you got, I'd have 10-year-olds challenging me and they're playing three-letter words, you know. And you'll entertain it, but it's not really much fun. See, you start winning those games, it's like, this isn't any fun. But when somebody challenges you, when there's a fight, then it becomes entertaining. You know what? I don't like it to lose. But when you win by 1 point, you win on the last play, that was a fun game. And God is a master at having us win on the last play. He's a master giving you what you need to overcome at the last minute. Now that's a whole other teaching, but the point is, we're to win. And God's given us all the grace we need, all the word we need to overcome every challenge the enemy will throw against us. Because the Bible says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. He's made you more than a conqueror. Right? It's not going to change. And this is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God's raising up a triumphant church in the end times. This stuff about hanging on till he comes again is not of God. Amen. He's looking for victors. So, with that in mind, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We went here last Sunday morning. I want to go back there. Well, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 to begin with. Now I hit start on the thing. It didn't start. I must hit the wrong button. Probably the Holy Ghost giving me more time. I heard somebody saying, I could hear it. That wasn't God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writes in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now we went here last week and we looked at where God, or where Paul recognizes their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience of hope. And we've talked about how in our English language, we usually, a lot of times, interchange the word labor and work. Amen? But we found it in the Greek, these are actually two different words. The word work here, the word ergon in the Greek, means that which you're applying your hand to, or that which you're accomplishing. Something that you are doing, right? So for us, the work of faith we do is the calling on our lives. Whatever God's assigned us to accomplish, that is the work of faith we are doing. And so what we're called to do it by faith. the labor of love, the word labor there means a hardship or something painful, something that's requiring effort. And so, you know, we never say, hey, that woman's expecting and she should give birth any time because she just went into work. She's been in work 8 hours now and this child still, she's only, you know, so many centimeters. We don't say that. She's in labor. So let that be somewhat what we're talking about, the labor of love, because when you endeavor to walk in love, there will be an emotional onslaught that will come against you to try to get you to stop walking in that love. Well, they don't appreciate it. They're taking advantage of you. You know, they don't like you anyway. You will have to battle through that to walk in love. And of course, patience of hope. There's a vision God's laid before you. It seems like it's tearing, but you need to have patience waiting for that to come to pass. The hope is your vision you have, the hope of your calling that God's laid before you. And so we were focusing on this work of faith we're called to do. In other words, I believe every believer, I believe the Word bears this up, every Christian has a calling on their life. Let me back up. I believe every person on earth has a calling of God on their life. They just haven't stepped into being saved yet to begin to fulfill it. But everybody's called of God to something. But once you're saved, there's a calling God wants you to fulfill. And of course, the number one calling He's got for you to fulfill is to become a person of love. Amen. I say that because so many people say, Pastor Jack, I just want to know what my calling of God is. And I'm of the opinion, if you just become who God wants you to become, He'll get you into the right position. I mean, you just grow close to God, He will speak to you clearly what He would have you do. Or make it apparent to you. Right? But it's called a work of faith. God's got an assignment for us to do. And it's going to require faith. Whatever God's called you to do, whatever assignment He's got on your life, it's going to be bigger and of greater capacity, greater demand than you have the strength, ability, or finances to do. At least one, if not all of those. Because if you could do it yourself, you wouldn't need God and you wouldn't need faith. Your calling will require you to step into it by faith. My calling is to teach the Word of God. And you know what's amazing? Is I was never able to stand up and speak in front of people. Never. IBM sent me to every assertiveness training class, every public speaking class they could send me to. I went to Dale Carnegie. They say, you do great work, but you need to be able to make a presentation. I don't want to make a presentation. You do it. And in the midst of that, God says, I've called you to preach. All I can say is, God, not my will, but yours be done. Because that was the last thing I wanted to do. But He said, do it. So I made me a little pulpit. I started a Bible study class. And the first time I stepped behind the pulpit, the teaching anointing came on me. Now, 25 years ago, it's never lifted. I can stand up in front of anybody and teach the Word. What? It's by grace through faith. God gives you provision, the ability to do what He's called you to do. You just got to be able to do it by faith. Amen. And I've discovered as soon as you quit believing God for the supernatural, He'll let you try to do it yourself. We have a term in revivalist ministry called being blown out of the pulpit. It's happened to me one time. I had started teaching a Bible study, and it was, I mean, I was laying on my face for hours seeking God for messages, seeking God for the anointing, and I'd get up and I would teach, and the power of God would drop. And one night I taught a lesson about faith, and the Spirit of God just anointed it, and it was a blowout. It was a blowout. Bible study, just great. And I got invited to another church to preach. And I thought, well, I'll just preach this message. It was good. I didn't seek God on it. I was like, it went good. I'll teach it there. And I didn't pray effectively, getting the Word of God effectively before I got up. I thought, I've taught it before. And I stood up, and when I taught the first time, I think it lasted 2 hours, 2-hour Bible study. We didn't play around. And I got up there and started, I had charts, transparencies, everything. I started to teach that lesson and went blank. God said, hey, you think you can do without me? Go for it. And my tour last lesson lasted 10 minutes. 10 minute message. You're thinking, I can't imagine that with you. And I left that pulpit, my tail between my legs, feeling totally defeated. The pastor says, hey, you just got blown out of the pulpit. He said, I've done it too. And we talked about it, and I swore that would never happen again. God, I'm trusting you. Amen. And now, 25 years later, I need God. Do you follow me on that? So our calling, our work requires faith, no matter what it is. You need God to come in on it. You need God's wisdom, His strength, His connections, His open doors of opportunity, His resources. And it requires faith. Whatever your calling is, whatever you're doing, you got to be able to stop in your day and say, God, I need you right now. One of my natural giftings is fixing things. Now, I'm not talking about God gifting, a natural gifting. I was born with a mind to be able to break down mechanical things, figure them out, and put them together. My mom said I would take her stove apart, put it back together every day when I was 2 years old. Have my own tool set. Every day. Take screws out, put them back in. But I've discovered if I start to get too confident in my ability to fix stuff and don't call upon God, something will go wrong. One bolt won't come loose or it'll snap off, whatever it is. Here we go. Things don't work like they're supposed to work. So again, whatever God's called you to do, it's going to require you connecting to Him and believing what He promised you and accessing His power by faith to do it. Amen. So our calling to live by faith includes everything we put our hand to. To include God in our daily tasks and to endeavor to invite Him and His power more and more into our daily activities. I've discovered if I've got a big schedule and I'll hit the morning, and try to get it all done myself, I won't get half of the list done and hit snags many times all through the day. But I'll start out and say, God, I'm not going anywhere until I get in the Word, I get in prayer. And even if I have to get up early, get up and pray, get in the Word, I may get the whole list done in half the time because things will just glide through. I don't know about you guys. I'm talking to the guys right now. I've got a lot of tools. And one of the reasons I've got a lot of tools is because when I need one, I can't find it, I've got to go buy another one. I'm sure I have at least 15 hammers. I'm not exaggerating. I've got hammers. I've got channel locks everywhere. I just gave my daughter a circular saw, skill saw. She says, well, don't you need it? I says, no, I have 5 others. I would just buy a box of tools. There would always be a skill saw in it. And so, my thing is, what takes me a good part of the time working on anything, if I don't call upon God, is finding the tool I need. Amen. I spent about 4 hours yesterday just putting tools away where I've been dumping them on the desk, on the workbench. I've got tables in my garage, and they're just piles. And I'm trying to find stuff. Like, I know there's pliers in there somewhere or whatever. Just putting the tools away so I would know where they were. So if I don't call upon God, half my time will be trying to find the right tool, the right fastener. But if I'll have connected with God, everything will just fall into place many times. Why? Because you're doing it by faith. You're accessing a grace to accelerate what you're doing. And of course, this whole series we're talking about is in this year, God's told us He's accelerating our development. God's accelerating our training this year. Why? Because we've got a long way to go to get to the glory and a short time to get there. Come on now, let's watch old Bandit run. Let's. Couldn't help it, could it? Just couldn't help it. Amen. We've got a short period of time left to go to this glory, and there's so much we've got to learn and learn to apply that God's got to accelerate our learning processes. And so, watch, if you just seek God before you do a task, how'll He even accelerate you getting it done? Because the two go together. You accelerating what you're doing and Him accelerating your training. All work hand in hand. And so we are called to do this work of faith. Go to 1 Peter now. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 17. And if you call upon the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, we've talked about the fear of God in the past, right? For the unbeliever, the fear of God is the fear of judgment. Amen. For the believer, the fear of God is to fear not having God involved in what we're doing. To fear being out of His presence, out of His will. I don't fear God. I fear not having God. Amen. So it says here, again, that God judges according to every man's work without respect of persons. God's judgment doesn't always mean bad. In fact, for the believer, it means good. God's judged us righteous. Right? God's judged us blessed. He's judged us healed, prosperous, successful. God's judged us as His friends. So it says here He judges, or He makes decisions based on every man's work. In fact, He's a rewarder of what we do. Amen. God is a rewarder God. And He rewards based on our work. But what we've already discovered is our work must be based upon faith. Do you follow me? In fact, the one that hears the Word of God but doesn't do it by faith builds his house on the sand. The one that hears and does, and I believe it infers by faith, builds his house on the rock. And when the storms come, the one built on the rock, his house stands. Scripture says any man can build. Some will build with gold and silver and precious stones. Others will build with wood, hay, and stubble. But when the fire comes, the kindling goes up in flames. And the kindling is what you build, even as a Christian, without doing it with faith being involved. Amen. God's not concerned about what we can do of our own strength, our own ability. He wants to see what we'll do with His partnership. Now listen, let me fill this in just so there's no confusion. I feel like I'm going to four or five places at one time anyway. If you're going to your work and you're taking care of your family and you're taking care of your children, you're earning a living and you're paying the bills and you're doing it by your own ability, but you're doing it because you want to honor God, you believe in God, guess what? That's still faith-based. You're doing it based on God watching what you're doing, and you're doing it unto Him. Are you following me? Even though you're doing it of your own ability, there's still faith involved in that. But there's a higher level when you go to work, you say, now God, help me do this. Now you're at a higher level of faith. We go from faith to faith and glory to glory. So don't think because I've been working all my life trying to be a good Christian, it's been for nothing. No, there was faith there. You're trying to honor God. But there's a place where you can do it with the anointing on your life, which will produce even more reward, more success. Did you follow that? But God rewards based on the works we do by faith. Go over to John chapter 4. And I think we may be done with the review. John chapter, but review is good. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Jesus said, my job, my assignment is to finish his work. Now, would you imagine that Jesus did his work by faith? I mean, he lived in the supernatural. You don't move in the supernatural without faith. Right? Everything he did by faith. He lived by faith. He went to the cross by faith. In the garden, he said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Because he knew what he was about to go through. He was in great torment because of the affliction he was about to endure. Because he knew he was about to be crucified, stripped, beaten, all the torments he went through. Amen. And killed. But by faith, he had already prophesied his own resurrection. Amen. By faith, he went to the cross knowing on the other side of it there was a greater reward for him. Amen, a promotion on the other side. And by faith, he was going to surround himself with a whole group of people that would be made in his image who would believe on that cross. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus did his work by faith. He said, my job is to finish that work of faith. Go over to chapter 5. Verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus because he was operating in the miraculous, the supernatural, and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father works, and I'm working. Now what he was saying is, we're working together. My Father's working and I'm doing His works. He was letting us know the kind of work we're to be doing. We should be able to say, my Father works and I work the same works He works and I work them through His power to enable me to work them. Say that 5 times real quick. We're to work the works of God, which means we're to work supernatural works. Anything the Father instructs us to do will require faith. Any promise of God you're going to supernaturally receive is going to require faith. Amen? So then, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And I believe we read this passage last week, but let's look at it again. Then said they unto him, unto Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do we do to work the works of God? Have you ever wondered that yourself? Have you ever said, God, what would you have me do? I've laid on my face for hours saying, God, what do you want me to do? I'm after him all the time in his church. What do you want us to do as a church? What's our assignment? Amen. And of course, right now, what I keep getting is prepare the church for the glory. But then Jesus says, this is the work of God that you believe. Do you see that? That you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, Jesus is the one who he has sent. We're to believe on Jesus. Right? But our work is to believe. That's the word for faith. That's the same Greek word for faith. We are to operate by faith in Jesus. But Jesus is the Word made flesh. So would we be stretching things too much that if we're to believe on Jesus, we're to believe the Word? They're synonymous. They're the same. We're to believe the Word of God. So when the Word says you were healed, and you step into it and you access it by faith, you're believing on Jesus. What He purchased for us. When God said He would multiply your seed 100-fold. And you step out on that. I believe I receive. What are you doing? You're doing the works of God. You're working the works of faith. God has called us to step out of the limited lifestyles the natural world presents to us. Natural thinking keeps us bound to. And step over into this realm of the supernatural where we really believe in the miracle power of God. That nothing shall be impossible unto you. We had the young man come in here Friday night. We were telling about different miracles that have happened in the church. Nicole spent about half an hour with him telling about miracles and she'd seen just in the time she'd been here. And we are called to live in a supernatural realm. If we were to have let's do this. How many in this church have ever received a supernatural healing in this church? Raise your hand. Look at that. I'm not even standing up here without supernatural healing. Amen? Set free of migraines as well. 23 years ago, set free of migraines. Thank you, Jesus. 24 years ago, I think. Set free of that tormenting devil. We're called to believe on the Word. Now, let me put this in perspective just for a minute. Do you realize that we were put on this earth for a purpose? Do you realize God is the root of everything that exists, including our existence? We were never meant to be in any level of life or operation without it being intertwined with God. That was always His plan. In fact, of more importance in your life, God is of more importance in our lives than what we do as a career. Amen. Who we marry, where we live, what we experience, all of that pales in comparison to really God's root assignment on our life to know Him. But if you'll endeavor to know Him, He'll cause everything else to line up in the right fashion. So God's to be the center of our universe. Because we're the center of His. Amen. And He's called us in this calling to know Him and to believe what He put in His Word, because there's nothing more important that exists in this Word. So it was never meant to be a take it or leave it mind, lifestyle. It was never meant to be, that faith is okay, but I don't think we have to do that. It was the whole purpose of God bringing us into existence. Was to abide in Him. To be grafted to the branch. To become one that flows in His power and love. Amen. We're to live a life of faith. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, we've referred to this. And let's go to verse 28. For He, talking about God, will finish the work What work is that? What work is God doing in the earth? He's doing the same work we're to run toward. You know what work God's doing in the earth? What is it? What is his goal according to the Word that He wants to bring to pass in the earth? The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's what we're called to run to. It's our work to manifest the glory. Right? It's His assignment for His people to go into the glory. So that's the work He wants to finish. And He can't just wave His hand and bring the glory upon earth. It's going to come through His people, because Paul said it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants to bring the glory through His bride, through His revivalist church. And He cannot bring forth that glory without training His people to manifest it. Without developing them from faith to faith so they can become releasers of that glory. Is this getting too deep out there for you? God's got to change us to bring the glory. He's not just going to wave His hand and it manifests. He's got to change us. And the way He changes is by getting us to believe what He said. It does not say in Romans chapter 1, talking about just shall live by faith, it does not say, and He will wave His hand time and time again, and the earth shall be filled with glory. It says, we will go from faith to faith. Right, in glory to glory. God's changing us to get us to believe Him so we can manifest it. So here it says, He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. In other words, He's going to accelerate this work by us finding out who we are in Christ Jesus. That you're not a sinner anymore, you're a saint. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. For a short worker, could we just put it in an accelerated work? An accelerated work will the Lord make upon the earth. God is accelerating this work. But you want to hear something even more, to me, more... How can I say this? Impacting? It's not the right word. But see in that passage, verse 28, where it says He'll finish the work. In the Greek, the word work is logos. This shouldn't be translated work. It's word. But the King James writer couldn't comprehend finishing the word because they already had the Bible. Do you follow me? They already had the Scriptures. How could God finish the Word? It's already finished. He wasn't talking about finished putting it down in paper. He was talking about finishing the manifestation of it. He will finish the fulfillment of the Word in righteousness. Because a short word will He make up on the earth. God is accelerating this development by getting the Word into us in accelerated fashion. By getting us to believe the Word. At levels we've never before experienced. See, right now, some of you in the past have been willing just to believe in God and believe that God's a good God and believe that God's going to reward you someday for being a nice person, and you'd be willing to be content right there. And what happened? Your growth in faith really to some level was truncated. Cut off. Because God wants us to go into all the way of believing every promise He has in the Word. Hebrews chapter 4. I feel like I need to show you this. Some would say, well, I just don't need all that. What do you mean believing all the Word by faith, believing every promise of God? It's His work for us, is to believe the full Word. If God just wanted you to believe in the cross, the Bible could be three paragraphs. They're contained in the Bible. Is it over 2,000 promises given of God? I've got a thing on my iPad, an icon I put that just connects me to the New Testament promises of God. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of commandments or promises in the New Testament of God. Promises of God. Verse 1, chapter 4, Hebrews. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word, the Logos preached, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. It says we should fear, not claiming every single promise the word contains. Why? Is God going to, he's going to punish us if we don't believe every promise? No. The curse is going to overtake you for every promise you don't believe. We live in a cursed world. Amen. And I should have brought the chalkboard out for this. Every facet of the curse, every facet that exists, from a snake bite to drinking poison, to lack, to sickness, to hardship, to strife, to division, to oppression, every curse that is existent in the world, God has a promise to offset it. So no matter what you're going through, if it's a hardship, God's got a promise to deliver you from it. So we don't fear not claiming a promise because God's going to punish us if we don't. We fear it because any area we don't claim a promise, the curse will overtake us. So if you believe God's a healer, but you don't believe he's a prosperer, which applies to probably most of the church today, then guess what? The devil can hit you with lack. If you believe in God will prosper you and you believe you can be healed, but you don't believe he'll bless your children or your marriage, guess what? Your family will be a wreck. How many people that seem so successful had their families in total disarray? Why? A promise not being claimed. Amen. Now, I understand there may be a season. It seems like your kids are running wild or some of them are strife in some relationship. But hold to the word. God will turn it around. I just saw this yesterday. Looked it up. It seems to be true. I'm trying to think how to say this and not become offensive with it. But have you seen the report on Will Smith's son, Jaden? On his 18th birthday, he plans to surgically become a woman. Now, here's something that seems like if I looked it up on Google, there was reports of it all over the place. He's wearing dresses now. Here's a man with position, fame, finances, everything else. But guess what? There was a promise not claimed. And here comes curse in manifestation. I'd rather be broke than have that happen to my child. Are you following me? So we're not saying that you have to claim promises because God's going to get you. If you don't, we're talking about the curse will overtake you. And God gave us promises to be able to put up a shield of faith against the curse. Yeah. And then God says, because you were willing to believe me, I'll bless you on top of it. For the just shall live by faith. Well, turn to 1 Peter. We mentioned this a while ago. Let's look at it in print. 'Our work shall be tried with fire.' And I wrote down the wrong passage. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God's got some things he wants to reveal in the last time to a people of faith. The glory. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, or trials is what it's talking about. The enemy's trying to stop you. The temptation is to quit. Amen. Verse 7. That the trial of your faith, what's he trying? Not God, but the devil, right? The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith is going to be tried. But when you come through the trial, there will always be a promotion. There will always be an increase in your anointing if you come through by faith. Our works we're doing for God are to be works of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Can't believe my wife had me write down the wrong verse. I'm sure she distracted me in some fashion. She's not here. I can say what I want to this morning, right? She's back in with the kids. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, what kind of work do we do? Work of faith. Remember, that's what we're talking about this morning. Our work is of faith. So don't stop in your faith efforts. Because here's how the enemy often operates. You try to believe God something for, you know, supernatural. You believe in God for to restore a relationship or bring healing in your body or, you know, you need a bill paid and you're believing, but guess what? Something happened and you didn't manifest it on schedule. And here comes the devil saying, and you thought faith worked. You thought you could have that. You thought God would really provide that. And what is he trying to do? He's trying to get you to ever stop using your faith again. Remember last time you tried to use faith, that horrible battle you went through, that great fight of affliction? Don't even ever think of believing God for anything. It is too much easier just to go to the medicine cabinet or, you know, or watch a movie or whatever. Just don't try to believe God again because you don't want to invite that battle in again. And guess what? You're not being steadfast and immovable. You're letting the devil run over you. We're called to live by faith. Amen. And of course, a few weeks ago, we had you take an inventory of where you're using your faith and in increasing it. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see if I can go to a few verses really quick. That'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Here's the fivefold ministry, right? This would be the church leaders, the church instructors. He gave the fivefold ministry, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. My job is not to have a whole set of outreach programs in the city. Although those are fine, that's not the primary job of any church or pastor. The job of the ministry is to perfect the saints. How do you perfect the saints? You teach them the word. Amen. And then it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now here's the question I just asked it a while ago. It's the same answer. What kind of work are we to be doing? Faith works. So the fivefold ministry in the perfecting of the saints is to teach them faith. For the edifying of the body of Christ. What does edify mean? To build up, to grow, to increase, to bring to perfection. The job of the ministry is not to lead a bunch of people and, you know, trying to be nice people. Although we should be nice people, right? I always have to throw that in because somebody's going to leave out and say, God, Pastor Jack said we don't have to be nice anymore. Our job is to teach how to step into the supernatural power of God by faith. That's it. And if we can do that, if we can teach how to step into the supernatural and become people of the supernatural, get ready for the glory. And the glory, listen to me, the glory fixes everything. I've been in the glory before. It will fix everything. Philippians chapter 1, we'll close with this. Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Verse 6, being confident. What does confident mean? You know what's going to happen, right? Trusting in, resting in, not worrying about. Being confident of this very thing, of this thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, say me, has started a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes. God said he would finish his work in you. But what have we now discovered this morning his work in you is? To teach you to live by faith. To teach you to function in the supernatural. To teach you to believe for the promises of God. And God says he will complete it if you remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're called to be people of the supernatural. We're trying to create in these teachings an expectation of going beyond in our walk with God. In other words, going beyond where we are now. Going deeper into the power of God, the blessing of God, the love of God, the glory of God. And we recognize that it requires we make change. Amen. We make adjustments. We get out of survival mode and go into overcoming mode. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I was closing a minute ago,